Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And we are going through this book chapter by chapter. We're doing a walkthrough of this book, Homeric Greek by Clyde Farr. Now, there's an older version of the book from 1920 that is available for free as a PDF. It's in the public domain. And so I'm going to put a link in the description where you can download this if you want to follow along in this. Or you can just hop on Amazon and buy the nice, newer, you know, bigger edition. But the content ends up being the same. This one's just more user-friendly. Okay. So we're going to be walking through each chapter. I'm going to explain the grammar in each chapter. And then we're going to go through the exercises and give you the answers to the exercises, because there's no answer key in this book. So we're going to provide answers. And of course, if anybody at home doesn't agree with my answers, you could leave a comment and let me know where I went wrong, supposedly. So we're going to go through this book. And the cool thing about this book is that if you go through all 77 lessons, you end up reading the entire book one of the Iliad. Okay, that's what I like about this book. So we're going to be using the modern pronunciation. Therefore, we are skipping chapters 1 and 2 in this book. Chapters 1 and 2 in this book are pretty much about pronunciation. And I don't want to use the ancient pronunciation because nobody talks that way today. If we actually use modern pronunciation, we can carry over what we know into modern Greek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we're killing two birds with one stone. Because I want to learn modern Greek, New Testament Greek, Homeric Greek, all of the above. And so it's good to just use the modern pronunciation. And nobody knows exactly how this sounded, you know, 2,700 years ago anyway. So here's what I encourage you to do if you need help with the alphabet or if you need help with pronunciation. Learn it from a modern source. Go on Duolingo. They have a great Greek program on Duolingo. There's another great free program called Language Transfer that you can use. And then besides Duolingo and Language Transfer, you could do like Rosetta Stone and Pimsleur. You have to pay for those, but they've gotten a lot cheaper lately. It's just like a subscription. So I would highly recommend that you get the pronunciation down from modern native speakers and then jump into this book at chapter 3. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to start out with chapter 3, and we're going to use modern pronunciation. Okay, so the first thing that we need to learn in Greek in chapter 3 covers this is what's called these declensions of nouns. So Greek is an inflected language. Now in English, when we have a sentence and we want to know what is the subject, what is the object of that sentence, then we go by word order, mm-hmm. Okay? So if I said, you know, John hit the ball, right? What's the subject of that sentence?
John.
John hit the ball. But if I just flip that around and said the ball hit John, what's the subject?
The ball.
So basically, in English, ball and John don't change. It's just the word order that changed. Okay. But we have certain pronouns in English where it would switch. Like if I said, I hit the ball, mm-hmm. when we flip that around, it would become the ball hit I? No, it would be the ball hit
me.
Me.
Right.
So therefore, you know, we have a little bit of this inflection thing going on. But what you have to understand in Greek is that basically, all nouns are getting inflected. So basically, we have these different cases here, okay? And so we have the nominative case, we have the genitive case, we have the dative case, and we have the accusative case, okay? So what is the nominative case? The nominative case is basically the subject of the sentence, mm-hmm. or it could also be like a predicate nominative, but it is basically the subject. And I'm going to kind of just oversimplify this a little bit because I don't want to overwhelm you with too much grammar at the beginning. We can always get more specific later. But the basic idea is that nominative is typically like the subject of the sentence. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Predicate nominative. Okay. And then a genitive case, the most basic way of understanding this is putting of in front of the word. It's like of something. Okay. So this is like your possessives. If a word is possessive, so for example, if we wanted to say John hit the ball, John would be nominative, okay? But if we want to say like John's book, So John's possessive now. John's book, that then John would be in a genitive case. Okay.
Makes sense.
So genitive is like source or possession or the word of. Okay. So then we have the dative case. Dative case is usually like your indirect object. Okay, so it answers the question like to whom or for whom a lot of the time. So if I wanted to say like, I threw John the ball, okay? I threw John the ball. I'm not throwing John, am I? Am I picking up John and throwing him? No, I'm saying I threw John the ball. I'm throwing the ball. So the ball is the object. What is John? John's the indirect object because I'm actually throwing the ball to John or I'm throwing it for John. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So that's dative. Now, you know all this because you speak German and these are the same in German pretty much. So the dative case is like to John or for John. And then the accusative case is the object. So if I threw the ball to John, I, nominative, threw the ball, accusative, to John, dative, okay? And if I threw Anselm's ball to John, then Anselm's would be genitive because it's possessive. So that's kind of just a crash course in what these cases mean, okay? And what's the purpose of having cases? So we can tell what a word is doing in the sentence, okay? So here we're dealing in singular. Now I've also written here vocative. This is a more rare case that we don't really have to deal with very often. But vocative is direct address. So if I said, John, throw me the ball, then John would be vocative because I'm talking to John. Okay. So whoever you're talking to, like if you call their name, that's vocative. Don't worry too much about it because it's pretty rare. A lot of times it ends up being the same as the nominative. In this case, it is the same. Okay. So these are our singulars, dual, and plural. Okay. So let's just stop and go through this real quick. So here's a word in ancient Greek that we can start with. And this word in modern pronunciation is pronounced vouli.
Vouli.
Vouli. So vouli means plan or counsel or something like that. Okay. So this is a good word to use as an example or a paradigm because a lot of different words are going to decline exactly like vouli. So the Greek word paradigma means example, paradigma. So in English, we call this a paradigm. Okay, when we lay out an example of how a noun shows up in these different cases, different numbers, okay? So when the plan is the subject of the sentence, then it's gonna be a nominative case, vouli. But if we're talking about it as a genitive, like let's say we wanna talk about like the merits of the plan, or something, you know, or we want to talk about the details of the plan. This would mean like of the plan. Does that make sense? And then dative would be like to the plan or for the plan. And then accusative would be the plan, like if it was the object of a sentence, let me show you the plan. I'm going to tell you the plan. I'm going to give you counsel. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. So that's these singulars. Vouli, voulis, vouli, vouline. So go ahead and pronounce these.
Vouli, voulis, vouli, vouline.
Very good. And so in the modern pronunciation, we don't have this little mark here, which is called a yoda subscript. So it's the letter yoda that has migrated down underneath there. Well, I've got good news for you. You just don't pronounce it. You just ignore it, okay? You just say vouli. So these are going to end up in modern getting pronounced the same.
Okay.
But they're spelled differently. Okay. So then, that's the good news. The bad news is that in Greek, there's also this dual form. Now, it's only in Homer, though. So in the New Testament, you're not going to have to worry about this. Most ancient Greek, you're not even going to have to worry about the dual. Modern, you certainly don't. But as we read the Iliad, we are going to rarely run into these dual forms. They are there. So you don't really have to worry too much about learning these. Just kind of know that they're out there. Be able to recognize them, but in the exercises that we do, we're not going to be using these in the exercises. But, you know, we just want to know that they're there. And as you can see, it's a little bit more stripped down because this word does like triple duty. Voula is going to be for nominative, accusative, or vocative. And voulin is going to be for genitive or dative. So this we're not really going to worry too much about, okay? So plural, we get into this now. We've got voulait, voulaun, voulis, and voulas. You want to go ahead and pronounce those?
Voulait, voulaun, voulis, voulas.
Okay, so same thing, right? If we have the plans being the subject, like, hey, the plans are ready, nominative. Genitive of the plans, voulis, to the plans, for the plans, voulas, the plans as in an object. Okay. So now, what about if we want to add an adjective here? We want to talk about a good plan or good advice or good counsel. Then what we would want to do is add an adjective that will describe this noun. And here's the thing about the adjective is it's going to have to agree with the noun in case and in number, okay? And in gender also, but this is, of course, feminine. This is a first declension feminine noun. That's the paradigm we're learning right now. Nouns that end up looking like voulis are first declension feminine nouns. So basically what we're gonna do is add an adjective to this. We're gonna do it like Spanish style where we put the adjective after the noun, okay? And we're gonna make sure that it agrees with this right here. Okay, so where's that eraser that I had here? Okay, so what we're gonna do is basically just add these on and they're gonna end up looking the same, okay, as what we see here. Now, it's not always gonna work out this well where the endings look exactly the same. Because of the fact that later we're going to run into other declensions, you know, second declension, third declension, fourth declension. And what we have to understand is that the endings aren't always necessarily going to match exactly, but here's what is going to match. They're both going to be feminine, nominative, singular.
Okay.
So the gender, number, and case are going to match, even if the endings don't look exactly the same. Now, I have to change this accent here. Don't worry too much about that. It doesn't really matter too much. But so we're going to go ahead and add this here. So tell me what I need to write here. What am I going to need to write? If I want to make this this adjective here, Kali, which means good. So Vuli Kali, a good plan. What am I going to need to do to say of a good plan?
So you would need to write Kalis, right?
Because Kalis.
It's Vulis Kalis.
Exactly, right? And then what am I going to do here?
Vuli Kali.
Vuli Kali, and I'm going to do the same, you know, Yoda subscript underneath.
Well, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, it is pretty easy. So, see, this isn't so bad. All right, and then what am I going to do here?
Kalin.
Vulin, Kalin, and then this one is going to change. We'll talk more about why later. It really isn't important, in my opinion. Okay, and then down here, what are we doing here?
Kale, vule kale.
So, vule kale, and what does that mean?
It means like good plans.
Yeah, good counsels, good plans, right? And then what about this one?
Kalon.
Well, say this one again.
Voulaun.
Voulaun, it's actually going to be kalon. Yeah, it actually grabs that whole ending. So you want to say that?
Voulaun, kalon.
And then what's the next one going to be?
Voulis, kalis.
Okay, and then again, going to do with the Yoda subscript. And then last but not least.
Voulas, kalas.
Exactly. Voulas, kalas. So anyway, these are the basics of how we decline nouns. And what does it mean to decline a noun? It basically means to put it in its proper case, okay, so that it can do the right function in the sentence. It can be a subject or an object, or it can be possessive, or it can be an indirect object. Whatever the case may be, it can perform the right function, so it needs to get declined, you know, into its form, whether it's singular, plural, what case is it, etc. Okay, so now that we understand the basic concept, this is what's being taught in lesson 3 of the book. Now we're gonna go ahead and together work through the lesson 3 exercises. All right, so here I have written on the board the first set of exercises for lesson 3, where we're translating from Greek into English. Now, in order to be able to do these exercises, you have to have learned the vocabulary list for lesson 3. So assuming you've done that, you should be able to understand these. So let's go ahead and translate these. So number one, Anzel?
It means good plans and bad ones.
Yeah, voulez, callez, que, caque. But here's the thing about this. This can actually be a complete sentence as well. You said good plans and bad plans, but also what you could do is put a being verb in there. Because a lot of times when you're reading Homer, the verb is, it's left out.
Oh, okay.
So you can just kind of assume one. Mm-hmm. So what you could say here is, the plans are good and bad.
I see.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now here's another thing about Homer, is that in Homer, there are no articles. So there's no a, an, and the.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, right? It just makes it simple. So there aren't going to be any words for a, an, and the, which means that you can supply them. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I don't have to just say, you know, plans are good and bad. I can say the plans mm-hmm. are good and bad. Does that make sense?
Yep.
All right, number two, tis echi vulin kalin.
It means who has good plans.
Well, are we plural or singular here? Let's look at that ending.
Oh, yeah, it's a good plan, just one.
Yeah, exactly, because remember, we can put in the a, an, or the.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the best translation for this?
Who has a good plan?
Who has a good plan, right? Okay. Okay, ti echusin.
What do you have?
This is actually third person plural. Yeah. So what would it be? Third person plural, the verb. What you're right about this. Yeah. What do third person plural?
What do they have?
What do they have? Exactly right. Yeah. So what do they have? Now the word T here, it can either mean what mm-hmm. or which or why.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then T's can mean what or who or, but this is usually who, this is usually what or why. Mm-hmm. So the best translation here would be, you know, like you said, what do they have? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Number four, Kale vule isan file.
The good plans were lovely.
Yeah. The good plans were lovely or the good plans were loved. Yeah. Something like that. Right. So, number five, tis in Kali.
Like who was good?
Yeah, who was good? And the thing about Kali is that it does mean good, but it can also mean beautiful or noble or brave. It can actually mean a lot of positive things. So it could even be like, you know, who was beautiful or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, who was good? Okay. So number six, vini klangi in and chisi Kali. And of course, we're using modern pronunciation here. What do we got here?
So, a terrible sound was in the good.
Yeah, and this is a place with the capital he there. So that's just a proper name, Hrisi. So you could say a terrible noise was in beautiful Krisi or something like that, right?
Yeah, I see. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So or, the knee is connected to a dinosaur, right?
Yeah, the terrible lizard. A dreadful lizard. Yeah, exactly. So a dreadful noise or the dreadful noise was in beautiful or noble Chrysi or whatever, you know, however you want to pronounce this. It's in Greek, it'd be Chrysi, but it's just a proper name of a place. Yeah. Number seven, Echusi vulas kalas kephilas.
So they have good and lovely plans.
Exactly. They have good and lovely plans. And then number eight, ti in klangi dini en chrisi kali. And I should mention here that when you have a semicolon at the end, that's how they do a question mark in Greek. That's what this is a question. Yeah. Obviously, that was kind of triggered by the question word, but that's a question mark. So what do we got for number eight?
What was the terrible or dreadful noise in beautiful Chrisi?
Exactly right, yep. And then here, these aren't really complete sentences. It's just kind of giving us a little more practice, I guess, with these declensions. So you want to just crank through these, kakis vulis.
Of the Bad plan.
There you go. Yeah, because it's not good anymore. We switched to practicing this other word. So of a bad plan or of the bad plan. Mm. And then kakis voulis.
So this is like two bad plans.
To the bad council. It's mm-hmm. it's to the bad councils or to the bad plans, right? And then what about this one?
Off the bad plans.
Of the bad plans, exactly. And then kaki vuli.
To the.
Well, this is just this is just the basic, the nominative.
Oh, okay, I see. So it's just the bad plan.
It's just a bad plan or the bad plan. And then kaki vuli.
So this would be to the bad council.
To the bad council or for the bad council. Or kakin vulin is again just bad plan, bad council. Kakas vulas, bad plans, mm-hmm. bad councils. So anyway, that's it for the Greek into English exercises for lesson three. So if you did well on this, then you got it. Now we're going to move on and we're going to do the English into Greek. So this is where it gets a little bit harder, right? Where we actually have to produce the Greek. Okay, so I'm just going to pull out the list here and let's both work on these at the same time just for sake of mm-hmm. time. So I'm going to grab us each a marker. Here's a marker for you. So the sentence that you're going to write, and hey, let's split up the board so that you don't get over onto my turf, all right? Stay on your side of the line, buddy. So the first sentence that you're going to write, here's your pen. Or it's not even a sentence. It just wants us to write, for number one, of good and bad plans. Of good and bad plans. I'm going to grab another marker for myself. So of good and bad plans. And then let's see, number two, for the noble plan. All right. So I'm going to write that over here. Hopefully you're working on these at home as well with your book or just listening to us. So for the noble plan. All right, and then let me know when you're ready for the next one. So you were doing of good and bad plans. Okay, number three for you. Who has the evil plan? Who has the evil plan? And then I'm going to be doing, there was a terrible uproar in beautiful Chrysa. All right, so let's see here.
Could you repeat that, please?
Yeah. It's, let's see. Who has the evil plan? Who has the evil plan? Okay. And then we'll check each other out and see how we did on these. Because we're doing this on the fly. There are no answers in the book. So we're just doing them. All right. So actually, I got to get my accent right. So there was a terrible uproar in a beautiful, it should be something like, and then beautiful is just basic good word again, and that's probably going to be dative. Okay, something like that probably. Okay, so actually, you know what? This is gonna probably match this. Okay, so number five, was the plan good? Was the plan good? And then number six for me is gonna be, the plans were cowardly. So you again are working on, was the plan good? I'm working on, the plans were cowardly. Oops, I made a mistake. All right, so let's see how we did. So I believe we are there. So what do we got here? So number one, of good and bad plans. So kalaun ke kakaun vulaun, right? I think what they would have done in the book is probably switch the order, like vulaun, kalaun, ke kakaun. But honestly, in Homeric Greek, the word order is really flexible because the case ending tells you the function, so word order can be a little more flexible. So, I mean, that should work. Okay, and then number two was for the noble plan. So I use the dative case, vuli kali.
Okay.
Right? You stop me if I made a mistake here.
I think you have to put the circumflex.
Ah, you got, see? There's me ignoring my accents again. All right, so vuli kali. All right, number three. So we got, who has the evil plan? So I think that this should probably be Tis.
Tis, okay.
Yeah, for who would be better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There you go. So Tis Echi, so who has the evil plan, right? Who has the evil plan? Perfect. Okay, so number four, this was kind of the big one here. There was a terrible uproar in Beautiful Crises. So the ni klangi. In, I accidentally messed up and put this is plural, it's singular. In was in, forgot a little breathing mark, right? In Hrisi Kali. And so I put that in the dative because, but you know what? It turns out I was right the first time about the accent, I guess. But basically, the reason that that's in the dative is because, when we're talking about places and when we're using prepositions of like location or motion toward or motion away from, this is kind of an important point, is that things that are like stationary in general use the dative case. So if I want to talk about like being in the box, if something's in the box, like this is en Hrisi Kali, en, you know, Beautiful Crisi, then you'd use the dative case for things that are like in a location. But if I wanted to say like I'm putting it into the box, then the box would be accusative. As I'm going into it, it's accusative. If I'm sitting in it, it's dative. And if I'm coming out of the box, then I would typically be genitive.
Well, that's easy with out of. It's out of. It's like
out of. Yeah, exactly. So out of is genitive. Into, that's like dative, is like to. Or, excuse me, no, because we want accusative, sorry. But anyway, into, if you're moving toward something, you know, this, I don't know, this just helps me understand it. I'll draw a picture, in fact. Like, dative is when you're at a location, and then basically from that location is like genitive, and then going to that location is typically going to be accusative. Now, these are not necessarily hard and fast rules, but this is generally how the cases work when it comes to locations. So if we were talking about going to Crisi, then we would do it with accusative. If we're talking about, hey, where are you from? I'm from Crisi, then you'd be genitive.
Okay.
And if the terrible noise was in, you know, Beautiful Crisi, then it's dative for that reason. And, you know, we know we're dative because we got these little telltale Yoda subscripts, which are a pretty good sign that we're dative, right? That would make sense? Everything
makes
good?
Sense. Yes.
Okay, and then number five, let's see, we're looking for, was the plan good?
Yeah, I'm wrong
let's
with
work
this
on
one,
that. Probably. Let's work on that that Vita. That's kind of an ugly. All right, let's work on your penmanship there, buddy. Can we get a little more closure there? I mean, whoa, what is this? Here, let's see, can we do something a little more like this? Like,
okay.
This is what we want to see, all right? All right, come on. Come on now. People at home are trying to watch this and read what you're writing. There we go. Getting all German with your Vita there. Okay, so basically, what were you supposed to be writing? Number five, was the plan good? Well, the problem is this is plural. Right, so let's change that.
Yeah, so it should be in.
Yep, right. Okay. Exactly.
I do have the eraser.
Oh, here you go. Yep. So that should be, was the plan good? And then you did a good job putting the question mark there. And then number six was the plans were cowardly. So voulez-vous caquer? Because cowardly is, cacos means bad, but it can also mean like the opposite of all those things we said Kali meant. Remember we said Kali can mean like beautiful, noble, brave. Mm. Then, you know, kaki can be ugly or cowardly or ignoble or whatever. All right. Any questions?
No. So far, no.
All right. So we made it through lesson three. This is, you know, pretty much the first lesson that had any meat on the bone. And so the next video will be about lesson four.